back.
Hey. Hey, we're back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Patrick here, Patrick Podcast. Good to have you back on the show. Hey, guess what we have today? It's another pop culture episode.
Finally. Ooh,
finally, yeah. Ages later, we have another one of these. It's great.
Quite the panel.
It's quite the panel. It's such the panel. As you probably have seen in the show notes, it's Brian, it's Ben, it's me, and it's a fun conversation. We get into it about streaming services, about social media influences, and about Kanye West. And trust me, people, the Kanye West part, that's worth the listen, because I think I rant pretty hard on a little bit of the Kanye thing. I had a classic Patrick Blackout rant where I just kind of go into the zone of ranting. So that's that'll be fun to hear. And Ben and Brian bring some deep insights and some good words about all the topics. I think you're going to really enjoy this. And here's the deal. You're going to see the social media posts on Instagram, on Twitter. Feel free to interact with the post. I'll be on there. I'll reply. It'll be awesome. I would love to hear your thoughts about what we said about all of these things. Which platform are you going to use? Do you want to be a social media influencer? Kanye West? I don't know. You tell me. You know? So there's a lot of fun things in this conversation. A lot of interesting points are made. I think you're going to enjoy it. These are always fun. Very vibrant. It's our opinion episode. It's our opinion piece. Yep. So it's good. Yeah. That's it. Keep sharing, liking, leaving comments on iTunes. We need all those things. All those things definitely help us. We're trying our best to reach Dan Patrick status, which is like when you type in Patrick in the podcast, we are the first thing and not Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick, we love you. We support you, kind of. But if you want that, we're coming. We're coming. We're coming for the number one spot.
Yep.
Ben, anything on your end? What you got?
I was just thinking here. It'll be interesting to see based on when we release this episode, because we did timestamp this episode. So
it is,
I think,
stamp.
That gives us some grace. But it would be interesting. Some of the streaming platforms that we talk about will probably be out by time this episode's out.
This
so
is true.
I'm curious to see how stupid we sound. But that's what I have.
Woo, woo. Okay. Hey, enjoy the show. We'll see you next time. Peace. All right, here we are. We're back. Another pop culture podcast. So today on the pop culture podcast, which it's not like we've done a bunch of these. Like, we've only done one of these, and the first one was great.
We haven't done a bunch, by definition.
Well, sure.
We've only done one.
We've only done one, and here's the second one. And today, we only have one additional guest for the pop culture podcast, and that is a return guest, the one and only Brian Schroeder. So Brian, I mean, if you listen to the Brian Schroeder episode, we get into some pop culture things on that episode, because that's a big part of your story, your journey, your development, and even like who you're still becoming. Like, you're still heavily, you know, invested in understanding of what's happening in movies, media, all
Absolutely.
Sorts of things.
Yeah.
So I thought this would be an appropriate time to bring Brian back to the show.
So glad you did.
Glad you're back. Also, this is going to come out soon. You'll hear this soonish. But still, what we need to congratulate Brian on is you're engaged.
Yeah.
To be married.
Correct.
To an amazing, independent, strong, beautiful, vibrant.
That's right. Make her blush while she listens.
Yeah, that's right. We're buttering her up. Woman. Like, it's amazing.
Absolutely.
Kelly is the name of your future wife.
That's right.
And y'all are going to, you're a power a power couple already, and it's going to be even more powerful once you kind of do this official thing and make it a forever, forever, forever.
It's true, because speaking of official things, the officiant on record of our wedding will be the illustrious Patrick Chappelle.
Man,
wow.
That, yeah. I'm pretty pumped. I'm very honored to be a part of that. And some of you listening are like, what? Patrick, the podcast host, officiates weddings? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I even DJ weddings, which is a lot of fun, too.
He even does both.
I've done both. At the same time. Which is very tiring. Because what I say when I do both, I step back from after doing officiating and DJing, and what I figured out was, you people, all you guests, yeah, you came for this couple. People? Well, sure. All you people showed up. But you all showed up to basically hear me talk. Because I do, the officiant does most of the talking during the ceremony.
Yeah.
And the DJ, which also is the MC, master of ceremony, does most of the talking during the reception. So truly, you showed up to hear me talk for a bunch.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty interesting.
That is why we have a second person, just to give you a little break every now and then. We have two officiants.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be the officiant of record. We have a second one, my friend Joe. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Give you a little break from the talking.
That's
so you aren't DJing the wedding.
I'm not DJing.
We had to get Premier Charleston DJ. Name drop him. I don't want
sure.
to.
Sure. No, that's fine. Yeah.
DJ Natty Heavy.
Whoa.
First thing we did after we you're looking at me. I wish you guys could see Patrick's face after I said that name.
Natty Heavy.
But it was the first thing Kelly was like, once we have the venue, once we have the date, the next thing we have to do is lock down this DJ. He's the best DJ in Charleston. So if you're out there, if you're listening, getting married in Charleston, if you have an event in Charleston, DJ Natty Heavy.
Like natural light?
Right, but not
Natty light. Heavy.
Yeah, but not Natty Light, Natty Heavy.
Is there such thing as Natty Heavy?
That's why it's a great DJ name. It's not technically copyright infringement.
It's not copyright. It's not. So much have learned. And then we have our always present, but going to be even more involved in today's episode, Benjamin.
Hey.
Hey. So this is also a returning guest, because we had a quote episode with Benjamin, which was fantastic.
Right.
So we have two returning guests. This is good. We're dude heavy tonight. It's okay. Bros on bros.
I guess
the first one was bros on bros, too.
Yeah, this is not on purpose, though.
No, not on purpose. We will have, the next pop culture would be, we'll have two ladies.
There you go.
Two ladies, and
this episode be called Bros Popping Off. Let's not, never mind. Never mind.
Bros Popping Off. Okay, so mark that down, yeah. So
yeah.
Today
point,
we're going to talk about, so ridiculous. Today we're going to talk about a couple things, just a few. One is going to be all of these new streaming services. So most of you out there have heard of at least one of the brand new ones, but there's a lot of new streaming services coming out, and we want to talk about it because I want to hear what these guys think about all of the new streaming services, because I think that's something interesting, because with at least one or two of these, most every human's probably going to get at least one of the new streaming services that are coming out. So that's going to be one of our topics. Our other topic will be talking about social media influencers. And I'm interested in this because, like, I'll already start and say that, like, we're not too far, I would say, from seeing this be a legitimate, like, course in universities. Like, I could foresee this being, like,
I mean, there's, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we'll talk about it later, but there's actually, I mean, you could almost put together a major based on existing courses that exist now.
Right.
Like digital marketing.
Right.
And, you know.
And then that, so we don't want to get too far into it, but then yes. And then, of course, the last thing, you knew we had to talk about it. We're going to talk about
that.
Kanye West. We're going to talk all about Kanye West. Probably getting some trouble. That's okay. I'm here for that. I'm here for it. I'm here for trouble. I'm here for trouble. We're here for it. So that's going to be right. And then we'll end, as we do all of our pop culture episodes, with each of us going to give some hot takes. So these are just kind of unrelated to what we've been talking about, but just hot takes that we have that we need to talk about. We need to get off our chests, and that will be our episode. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Let's get it going. First topic, streaming services. So as I was thinking about our topics, I mean, we have a lot of these new streaming services. So to kind of give you at least the list as far as I know it, we've got Disney Plus that actually launches in November 12th. So Disney Plus, we've got Apple.
Which, real quick.
Go ahead.
I found out last night from my roommate that Disney Plus is included in some Verizon phone plans.
Oh, wow.
So.
Like that Jay-Z album was?
And like that U2 album on everybody's iPhone.
Yeah, still. How do you get rid of it? I think you get rid of it and it comes back. And it's like, no, you're not getting rid of this album.
iTunes disappeared, but the U2 album is still on your computer.
Yeah, you still have YouTube's album on your phone. So yeah, which, interesting enough, Apple TV Plus comes out November 1. Like, it's like, we're days out.
That's like almost.
Yeah, we're days out because this episode is happening in late October when we're recording, but that's happening real soon.
Yeah, we probably should timestamp this episode.
Yeah, that's fine.
For the sake of context. We are recording this the day before
Halloween. Yeah, which we can talk about while we're even, you know, a little bit later, what y'all are going to dress up as Halloween, if y'all are going to dress up at all. I'm dressing up. I don't know what I'm going to
sure be you
at.
Are.
Love Halloween.
I'm sure you have seven different costumes.
So then we have in April 2020, HBO Max that's coming out.
Right.
Which no one asked for, but here we are. And then we also have coming up, we still have Netflix that exists. We still have Hulu that's in existence. Well, you still have there's a Facebook one.
Facebook is doing some sort of original content. I don't know if they're providing it on like an individual platform, but I've been hearing things about Facebook shows
that they're producing.
Yeah. Wow. And then of course there's Amazon Prime.
I could be totally wrong about that.
You could be totally right too.
Yeah. Then we have Amazon Prime that's coming out. Then it's going to be AMC Theaters on Demand. Literally no one asked for it. Here's why we know. The films will cost $3. Who's out here buying AMC Theater? No one asked for this. No one asked for this at all. So
what is that? What is AMC? Is it like movies that are out in theaters that you can stream?
Films will cost about from about $3 to $5.99 to rent and $9.99 to $19.99 to buy. The pros, AMC Theaters On Demand, which launched in October, apparently this month, is a service available to members of the AMC Stubs, which is their free program available to anyone who frequents their theaters. Like Netflix, AMC can use the data about what you've watched, previously purchased movie tickets to suggest what movies you might want to watch on the streaming services. So you saw John Wick this summer. Here's a whole catalog of action movies you can rent. So it'll kind of like match up. Here's what you're going to go. So you saw Captain Marvel. Here's some other lady superhero movies you can watch.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So, and it says like one of the, so in the cons is that AMC tracking your movie ticket data may be unsettling for some of the customers. And this article comes from The Times is what I'm pulling from. So it's just like kind of the normal thing that you see in like, you know, even with things like Netflix and things of that nature, like
just a catalog of movies.
Just a catalog of movies. Yeah. So,
and there's YouTube Red as well.
Yeah. YouTube Red. Yeah.
Well, now just known as YouTube Premium.
Okay.
Yeah.
So update, it's a little confusing, but Facebook has this new thing called the Portal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've seen the commercials the Portal.
And that is apparently related to their new TV streaming service. There's something else that I'm seeing called Catalina that looks to be related and or is just the code name for the project a while back.
I think I got vaccinated for that, I think.
Oh, I thought it was a wine mixer.
It's the next
mixer.
Hurricane. Hurricane it's Catalina.
Step Brothers, right?
But yeah, that... So it's they do have some sort of streaming service, and I think it's related to the portal, but so, it's a bit unclear.
So guys, give me your initial, like, okay, you hear all this. What's like your initial reaction to like all of these new streaming services? From Disney to Apple.
I'm exhausted.
To, well, yeah, it's very exhausting.
I haven't even finished Netflix yet.
I finished it. You haven't gotten there.
I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah, it is impossible to... It's already impossible to keep up with like Premiere TV for me. Like,
right,
all the HBO shows that everyone is supposed to be talking about.
Have you seen?
And the Netflix shows and all that stuff. It just, it's...
And I think you're about to say something, but and I was going to say, they're still making TNT shows, Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS. Like, there's still new shows coming on just normal network television. Like,
right.
And now we have all of this new stuff that we're gotta see. You gotta see this. So-and-so in this. You gotta see this.
Right.
Yeah. What were you gonna say, Ben?
Well, I just, what I think is interesting is how it differs from, so how it differs from music streaming services, because for the most part, music streaming services are just like literally competing with each other over the same product.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
Whereas all of these are not. And that's why I find it interesting that it's like this idea of like TV streaming services, because TV is just a bunch of channels and each channel is like a genre in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, for instance, the sci-fi channel, which is like all sci-fi stuff.
Correct.
Or you have TNT, which is like movies at a certain point in the day and like mm-hmm. crime shows, yeah, whatever
food,
it is.
Food Network.
This food is Network.
Food related
Cartoon
shows.
Network.
Cartoon Network.
Disney
right.
Channel. Right. So in itself, it's like curated genres. Really, when like Netflix and Hulu came about and HBO, it was just another TV option within its own. It was like just another on-demand option is really what it was.
Oh, yeah,
it wasn't
exactly.
It wasn't necessarily like a TV service. It was like, it was a whole different thing. And now it's just like, that's really the only thing that like actually exhausts me. Like that's legitimately like it how do I pick between the services? Because it's not like, you know, if I like a certain genre of movies, I could just pick one
right
and go with it. It's like, well, all the shows that I like might be across six platforms in the future.
And part of me thinks that they're betting on fatigue of the consumer, right? So you really want to see this new show that's on Apple, the new Apple streaming service. But you don't really care about the other shows that are on there. But I got to see this one show because it has the actors, directors, writers that I really love. I want to watch that show. Okay. You could, if you're diligent enough, subscribe to the Apple service, watch that show. People do this, right? Watch that show and then cancel once the show is over.
Right.
So now I'm not paying month to month $9.99, $10.99, whatever the price is, right?
So you're almost paying per use
for the show. People do this with HBO. People do this with Netflix. Like Stranger Things comes out. You get it. You get your subscription renewed. And then you watch the episode, and then you're out. So you binge it and you're over, right? So you could practice this binging over the different shows that are coming out on the different platforms because they're going to advertise on network television shows and on the internet the shows that are coming out, right? So we'll be fully aware of every show that's going to be released on every platform that's out there. And then you can do all that, but then what's going to end up happening, I think, is what they're betting on is that people just get tired of like the signing up and the canceling and the signing up and the canceling and all of that. It's like, well, it's $10. Sure, why not? But when you think about like if you were to if all of them were just $10, I mean, you're paying just as much to do all of these services as you would a almost close to, not maybe not completely.
Like a DirecTV service.
But normal cable. And so then my theory is going to be that somebody's going to have the bright idea to do what? Let's put all of these on one bundle. Mm-hmm. And then now you can buy this box. And on this box, you get HBO Max. You get Netflix. You get Disney.
And it's just going to turn into...
And now we're going to have... Now we're back at Comcast.
Cable. Right. Yeah. Well, I think what it'll come down to is, because there's so many options and they're all pretty much the same thing, it will actually come down to quality, which is kind of refreshing.
Sure.
And I think that's why, I don't have any evidence of this, but I would assume Amazon's viewership has gone up since they've started doing all of their original shows.
Mm-hmm.
There was the CISO. No, did you guys ever watch anything on CISO?
No. What is CISO?
Great. See, exactly. What is CISO is the question. CISO was around for like maybe a year, maybe less than a year. And it had all original like comedy programming. And that was like what it focused on, was just comedy programming. And they thought that they were going to really like get people with like that kind of cable option, like, oh, I just want comedy, right? And so they focused on that, and there were like some really good shows on there, some really interesting original content, but very few people actually subscribed to it because it was so niche, right? And everybody already had Netflix. They're already probably paying for cable, and they're, you know, there's only so many you want to pay for. And I think CISO was only like $4.99 a month. But still, at the same time, you don't want to pay like $5 a month for something you're only trying to watch one show.
Right.
And so that's the thing is, you know, like I'm really interested in The Mandalorian. It's that Star Wars show. There's like other Star Wars shows coming out from Disney Plus.
Oh.
And it seems really interesting.
Disney seems like it's going to be the most.
Well, yeah, because you've got your big pros are Marvel. All of Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, Disney classic movies.
Well, and just...
Plus The Simpsons.
Just general...
The Simpsons?
Yes.
Existing brand credibility is just like the biggest thing that they've got going for them. And maybe Apple TV has that same thing going for them. I think that it's Apple TV, Apple Plus, whatever it's called. But one of them is actually doing something pretty interesting, which is it will be free, but you can only watch the shows as episodes are released. But if you subscribe, you have access to all the episodes as soon as the first one's released.
Ah.
So there's a free service for it that allows you to watch like a show if it's 8 episodes over eight weeks, essentially. But then it's very similar to like a Spotify free, where you can listen to something, or you can listen to anything, but it's shuffled and there's ads.
Right.
So it's like essentially what you want to hear will come just in its own time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure it's Apple TV Plus
yeah.
that is doing that.
Well, and one year subscription free for Apple users. So you get 1 year for free for sure.
Okay.
But I think you may be right about that, but
there's a different thing where they're going to like, anyone can watch. Because I want to say it's the Jennifer Aniston show. She's got one on Apple TV Plus, right?
That's the Apple TV one.
And I'm pretty sure she was talking about how everyone can watch the first episode. And then the second episode will come out later. Third episode follows, so on. But if you subscribe to Apple TV Plus, you can watch them all right away.
Well, so what it appears, at least from what I've read about the Apple TV Plus option, is they're probably the most limited offerings of all of the streaming services. Like it's only going to be this original content. The difference, I think what their aim is, quality. We got J.J. Abrams. We got Jennifer Aniston. We got Oprah. So we're going to have like...
You got Oprah?
Yeah, they got Oprah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they got Oprah. So they're going to... So I think they're looking for like, we're going to make, we don't have all the things, We're not going to do all the things. We don't have all the things. But we want the quality and not the quantity. So, well,
and
I don't know. We'll see.
The other thing, maybe I'm in a small niche of people here like this, but the other thing that's appealing to me personally about Apple TV Plus is just in terms of being an Apple customer already, I prefer brand integration. I've recently switched back to Apple Music because they've done a really good job updating the app, and it's like the integration with the phone itself does a really good job and pairing with the Apple Watch and all that stuff. And so just the idea of like not another app, or like it's built into the Apple TV, I'm sure the integration with Siri, like it'll just, in terms of, you know, user friendly, it'll just be really friendly because it's integrated with the system that you're on. So maybe I'm in a small niche there, but
yeah. Are you going to get any, Brian? Are you going to get any of these new ones?
I almost have to get the Disney one, I think, just because it's all the Marvel stuff, all the Star Wars stuff, everything. I mean, that's me and Kelly.
And the fact like you have like butter. Classic Disney movies, like all the classics.
Yeah.
They're literally, they win. They've won without even like starting. Like it doesn't, like who's not, it's going to be tough for you not to purchase that.
Well, that's when you said The Simpsons, I was like, how in the world is that? But of course they just bought Fox.
Yeah, they did.
And that's how they, and that's got, how Simpsons, they got it. Which is so smart.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do think that they definitely win in terms of like what IP they have that they can draw from,
mm-hmm,
in general. I mean, mm-hmm, I quote unquote have a DC Universe. It's definitely not my parents' login or anything like that. But DC Universe is this app that, you know, DC Comics has that they put in, you know, original content. They also have old movies that are, you know, from their superhero stuff. And the big thing that I've been surprised by is that they will take things off. Like they have a limited supply anyway.
Right.
And then they just will take off the like original Batman movie. And I'm like, this is like why someone would
buy this, right?
Like why else, you know? So
it's like Taco Bell's menu.
They just took off the double decker taco. Can we talk about this?
Wait, what? Why?
Let's switch for a second.
Okay. We can go down this rabbit. Oh, what? Why?
Taco Bell has deleted the double decker taco from their menu. I tried ordering it and they would not let me.
Like why is the nacho fries still a like seasonal like menu item? Why is it a limited time option? Why isn't that a full-time menu option?
That should be a full Taco Bell. What are you doing?
Right. This is so it's like it's kind of like that's what it reminded me of when you were talking about DC Comics is like that's what Taco Bell does. They just like will take something you that's doing really well off the menu.
And here's my thing. And here's my thing. I think people that a lot of companies get it all twisted up, right? Is that if you're to be someone's favorite, fill in the blank, restaurant, network, whatever, there is consistency and predictability that's attached to the favorite.
Exactly.
Like, if you are my favorite restaurant, it's because I know 7 days a week, unless you're Chick-fil-A, I get to walk in these doors and I can order fill in the blank. And it's going to taste like fill in the blank. It's going to look like fill in the blank, and I'm going to enjoy it. Therefore, you're my favorite restaurant. And then what ends up happening is that instead of like, okay, introducing new things to the existing kind of like foundation, you mess with foundational items that become the staples and favorites of a lot of people,
mm-hmm,
for the sake of innovation and change. I'm all for change and innovation, but it's like, why do you got to get rid of the things that like people love your restaurant for, right? So like the seasonal fries, like obviously these sell well. Keep them on the menu. Like they work well, you know?
Right.
Or it's like, it becomes like a McRib situation where it's like, okay, it's going to be a consistently coming back, and we take it away and bring it back, but at least you know it's coming back. Right now, we don't know if either one of these things will be back because...
But McDonald's also does not...
Have a working ice cream machine?
Ever? Yeah, what is that about? It is always broken. How is that possible? You do not actually have ice cream, McDonald's. You are lying to us about this. The other thing is, the McRib is not why... like how McDonald's makes all of its cash, right? The McRib is not what its bread and butter is. It's the Big Mac. If they took the Big Mac off the menu, if they took like a double cheeseburger off the menu,
like why?
Would like no one would go, if they took the fries off the menu, no one would go there. And so like
that's scary.
When you talk about these streaming services that aren't intentional about like making sure that their content is like the DC Universe, like I think that's where I know that's a very niche one, but that's what all these are becoming. Well, right?
And like Netflix is like The Office is leaving it soon or something.
Yeah.
Because
it has to. Yeah. Because they're all going
to
go. Because
NBC wants to own its own.
Yeah, they're all. Because all these new streaming services like CBS Plus and all these places are taking off their content from Netflix, which was kind of like this hub of like, you know, dinosaur, you know, TV shows that were like amazing. You can come to Netflix.
Right.
And you can watch all this, all your old favorites here. And now it's like, well, that's moving over here. So if you want to see this, and you're going to have to buy this.
It's the vertical integration of Hollywood, which we probably don't have time to go into, but it's studios and agencies wanting to run everything from the top down and wanting to have every piece of the pie for themselves.
Right.
So Disney has bought out everything. So they have everything from the top down to like, they might as well also have movie theaters, right? Like, that's the thing. But there is a reason why they don't own movie theaters, and so that there can be competition in the marketplace. But when you start having, like, these types of streaming services and things like that, where they're going to not, you know, it was interesting there for a while when Netflix did just, like, everybody was like, yeah, just put it on Netflix because, like, that's the only place, like, we have to put it on Netflix or else no one's going to watch anything.
Right.
And so that was like a golden age where you could just pay $10 a month to get everything you wanted, right? Digitally, right?
Well, yeah. And what's funny about Netflix is that when they were a disruptor, right? Because they took down a juggernaut of an industry,
right?
Which was the movie rental companies, right? I can remember as a college student saying, Blockbuster will always exist. They will never go away.
Right.
No one could ever take this thing
And I
down.
Remember, guest of the pod, Luke Fleener, getting West Wing in the mail. And I was like, what are you doing?
Right.
It was weird at the time.
Yep.
And that's how Netflix slowly began disrupting. And it was a distribution thing. They began distributing through the mail the DVDs and the rental stuff. And then they put it online. And then it became, they were a distributor. But then as soon as they started doing original content, which a lot of it has been great, and some of it has not been, and that's fine. But like, as soon as they started doing original content, the other studios were like, "Oh no! You're going to, you know, They started wanting to do it themselves, and they because also they were, you know, Netflix didn't have to pay for their own original content; they didn't have to pay Disney, you know, some piece of the pie.
That's right.
Do that, and so they were price gouging.
So some go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say, I'm curious to see. Like the 5-10 year down the road, like what happens? Because I think a lot of people get excited about the subscription market in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what a lot of people are going to slowly realize is everyone thinks when they first start, you know, subscribing to Spotify and subscribing to Netflix and all this thing, it's like, oh yeah, it's just like buffet, like pick what you want.
Right. Yep.
And you pay for what you pay, like this price, and you get anything you want there. But like, I think what people are going to slowly realize is that it's not quite that. It's like, okay, well, I'm at the buffet. I really like action movies, quote unquote. That's fried chicken. Let me get some fried chicken. Well, we'll give you a wing and one leg, but you've also got to grab a pork tenderloin. Uh-huh. You've got to grab, you know, a little bit of lamb chops. Yeah. And mac and cheese. Okay, you can have like half a scoop of mac and cheese, but you've also got to take some coleslaw and some collard greens, things like that. It's like, okay, well, what about the baked beans? Oh, the baked beans is actually a different buffet.
Yeah,
you have to go to a different restaurant.
Yeah.
Or so it's even like, you can assemble your own meal, but it's not as buffet-like as you think.
Well, yeah, because then it's like, even with the you stick with mac and cheese, it's like, oh, you want cheddar or gouda?
Yeah.
Or do you want Parmesan? Like, those are... those three different things.
Right. It's not quite getting what you're paying for as it seems on the surface. Now it's turning more into like what TV was, which is like you pay for TV and you get all of it,
right?
And you have to find right. what you want.
And right. some at some point, people are also going to start saying, you know, I'm paying $10 a month for Netflix, but there are thousands, if not millions, of hours of things on here that I do not care about and I will never care about. Why in the world am I paying the same price? Like, why am I paying for that?
Right.
And people, I think once all of these things start ratcheting up, and it's basically like there are two shows on every streaming platform that I want to watch, right?
Right.
That's it, pretty much. I mean, when I'm looking at like the offerings of the new stuff, it's like there aren't that many things that I'm like, other than of course Disney, because I'm a big comic nerd and I'm a, you know, like yeah. Star Wars nerd. Like I love all that stuff.
Yeah. It's like the only one that you feel comfortable just letting exist on your TV box, whatever, because it's like, I'm probably going to watch one of these Disney movies.
Absolutely. But then, you know, with when it comes to like, you know, it is basically like I'm paying for HBO basically to be able to watch one drama and maybe one comedy a week.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
basically why I pay for HBO.
Yeah. I'm not watching the movies often.
Not usually.
Unless it's Mr. Mom and I wake up and I'm turning on HBO and I'm like, Mr. Mom. Oh, yeah, we need to probably get
Mad Max Fury Road yeah. also.
So, yeah. okay. So the last thing I'll say about this before we move on to the next topic is I wonder if they're going to figure out a way to stop everybody from just swapping passwords.
Well, didn't at one point Netflix encourage that?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Oh, of course.
But it's like one of those things where it's like, okay.
HBO
like,
does too.
You just got to have. If you just have 10 friends, well, then you can, you know, one friend buys in Disney, one friend buys HBO Max, one friend buys, and it's like, okay, which if anything, they should want because that builds community. You're building community. So that is a good way to build your friendship.
That's true.
Yeah. And I hope for a Nickelodeon streaming service, mainly because I want to see Salute Your Shorts again.
Oh, amen.
And Hey Dude, and you can't do that on yeah. television, like all the bangers, Secret Life of Alex Mack. Come on. Like, that's what we really need.
Yeah, all those cable channels really got to step it up and just like admit that it's over.
Nickelodeon does have a streaming service. I'm pretty sure.
Are those shows on there? If those are on there, I'll buy that.
I know that they're not because I have downloaded the Nickelodeon app for
when it like pairs with like your TV service. It's something weird, and there's like no like premiums. It's something weird where there's like no premium.
They only have shows that are from like. The recent era on the Nickelodeon app in particular.
Not here for that. Moving on, social media influencers. Let's just get into it. What do we think? What's our thoughts?
I mean, I would love for someone to pay me $5,000 to post something on Instagram, right? I mean, I think we're all kind of wanting to be those people a little bit. But I think it's interesting, and Ben, you might have like a different view of this, because me and Patrick are in our 30s.
That's good.
And so we've... Sorry.
I didn't mean to
call you out.
No. That's I like that you said in our 30s instead of like trying to like narrow it down like where in the 30s. It could be earlier anywhere in the 30s. I'm 30s. Yeah. How old are you? 30s.
30s. So, but you know, we've kind of seen Instagram rise and kind of become but I've recently started a new job and I work with people that are closer to your age. And it's interesting to, like, I started following some of them on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, like, they are gramming very differently than I am, right?
Oh.
I'm gramming, like, I went to the pumpkin patch today. It was dope. you know, it's Kelly's birthday. My dog's doing something weird.
Right.
You know, pretty classic Instagram shenanigans.
Their grams are, like, curated.
Oh, yeah, curated. Galleries. And it has a, literally... What's the thing? Like, it has a aesthetic to it. It has a
a vibe.
Like, there's a color. Certain, like, you edit everything a certain way. It all has a certain kind of look and feel. Yeah.
And there is, well, what's most interesting to me is that it's almost always, it's them standing with some piece of merchandise from the place that they're at against the wall that you're supposed to take an Instagram in front of. And they say, hey, check out this place. And then they hashtag all the different things mm-hmm. that they think will, you know, get them onto some, you know, explorer tab that
right.
people find. And it's so interesting because like I'm not trying to advertise for places on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And hope that they see it and hope that then like somehow that gets me a contract with them. I don't know what the goal is. I don't know if you, but it's just interesting to see people doing that. And that is their social media presence. And they aren't yet the influencers.
No.
But they are just regular people that clearly see the influencers and want to do that, or think that that's just how you use social media or something. It's interesting.
Yeah. What's your, what you do you have a comment about that?
Also, what is TikTok?
TikTok.
Wow.
Hang on. So,
no, I'm asking Ben because he's young and I'm not.
Well, so I know what I know TikTok is. Yeah.
I had never seen TikTok until actually like about a week ago. And
that's hilarious.
Isn't that funny? So I don't
once
know.
Once you start
if I'm
watching,
gonna,
you will go down a rabbit hole.
I don't know if I'm super credible in any of this topic, by the way. But TikTok, I've spent the last week like fascinated and really depressed by it. TikTok is basically.
Say it.
60 seconds Vine.
Yes, that's what it is.
With
10 like, times the Vine.
With
10
times the Vine. More editing capacity within the app.
That's right. That's exactly right. Vine.
But it is highly inhabited by teenagers.
Yes.
It's
a weird mix of like teens and like 40 and above people.
Right, right.
It's a very weird market of people.
I've had like a really hard time like finding enjoyable content on it.
Sounds like the dark corners of the internet.
It's like I've been calling it the trash can of the internet.
But it's so funny because it's like it literally is rooms. Like there are some 20 somethings and 30 somethings on it, but like it is no lie, mostly teenagers and like 40 and above people.
All right, so let me give you an example of a TikTok. This is a really popular one right now. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait.
There's like a form. What's also fascinating about it is like original content isn't necessary on it.
No.
It's very much like just recycle what's current. It's really interesting. It's not like you need to formulate the perfect tweet. It's just like you just do what everyone else is doing. And
it's like
cool.
Meming culture.
Yes.
Like just kind
very of meme culture. Yeah. So here's a popular one right now. Okay. So there's this song that you can use within TikTok. Mm-hmm. I guess they have the rights to it.
Yep.
And the way that the song happens. It like has this beat and there's this like rhythm, and then halfway through the song it like switches and there's these gunshot samples. Okay.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And the gunshot samples happen to the beat. Okay. So the way the TikTok works is there's like a teenage girl or guy. Let's do teenage girl for now. Standing in front of their camera.
Yep.
And there's a caption on the top that says,
This is perfect.
Sports that are hot.
Yes, this is classic.
The first half of the song is just music, and to the beat, they start pointing at different areas on the screen.
Yes.
And as they point, words will pop up.
Yes.
So football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and then the gunshots come in, pow, 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 and they shoot away every word.
Yep.
And then they hold out the actual hot sport, which is lacrosse or hockey or something.
Right. That is the, and that then that literally- is the... Is the perfect, that's a perfect example.
That is the entirety of that video.
Yes.
And so they're standing there and they point to different words and then they shoot away the words and then they show you a new word. And that is it. And
there
like,
are thousands
and
of
a
views.
Bit, oh.
Like so many, and each one
millions
has like
of views.
50,000 views minimum.
And like, and the big thing for TikTok is that a word that you'll hear a lot of TikTokers say, or teens or young adults or kind of college students say, is like, I don't want this to flop. So everybody kind of wants their, you know, because you can quickly and for a short-lived time be TikTok famous.
Yeah. But they also, another, what's really interesting is like, it's just like encouraging this like falsified like image, because like a really popular hashtag on TikTok is hashtag it's a joke.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so it's like they post a video trying to get on the trend, trying to get famous, trying to get recognized, but put it's a joke. As a safety net in case it doesn't get the trend.
It was a joke.
So it's like, well, it was just a joke. I put it's a joke.
So
it is truly horrifying.
Yeah.
There's the e-boy. E-boy trend has
e-boy
become really popular.
You know what e-boys
through
are,
TikTok.
Brian?
So e-boys are essentially it's like a new age pretty boy, but the difference is they essentially post videos of them like staring into the camera, doing cute faces and ruffling their hair, or they'll do edits to where they're like one shot wearing jeans and a wife beater, and then they'll like snap and the edit will like show them in a full suit, and then they like stick their tongue out and
E-boy.
And
it's real.
It's like truly horrifying.
Yeah. Now, so was
that's what I'm going as for Halloween spoilers.
Is it E-boy?
Is it E-boy? It's good.
Nice.
So here's what's interesting about social media influencers. I think a couple things are interesting. One is, I think what I love about even with some of the stuff on TikTok and stuff on Instagram is that in some ways, the way you look is still attached to some, to this in a big way, but a lot more different types of bodies can be social media influencers. Like, it's not just the pretty, the young, and like the fit. It's all body types in all ethnic groups and all, like, it really is, I think, the potential is high, where it's like social media influence essentially, you know, is taking the place of like what models and magazines used to be for us, which is look at this model wearing this, holding this, standing next to this. And now it's like, look at this couple buying this thing together. Oh, that's cool. I click on that because Brian and Kelly are funny, or Brian and Kelly are fashionable, have a unique fashion about them, or they, you know, and so, oh, they like that. Oh, I'm going to buy that because they like that. Right.
Right.
And so I think in some ways it's like, or it's like, oh, especially on the TikTok, it's like that guy's 45, but like people are enjoying him because it's like, that dude's 45 and he's like, knows the new music that's happening. That's pretty interesting, funny, and I like it. So it's a weird space.
Well,
and I don't know what I don't know what the end game is or what comes after this, but
here's what I'll say. I think that more than ever, the industry of influencers is becoming more legit. And that may be a hot take, but like I think it's just like it's becoming more, it's leaning into what it really is, which is a job where you are a walking, living commercial.
Yes.
Is what you are. So you're advertising something, or the whole point is like you look or do or be a certain way and hope that people want to buy something to be like that, right? Yeah. Or buy into what you are. And the industry itself is actually becoming more legit in the sense that like Instagram is cracking down on sponsored posts. So you have to, when you are being sponsored to post something about a product, you have to clarify it. And there's even like new like tagging like ways to do it. They're shifting. Apparently over time, Instagram has constantly like slowly shifted in where the actual location of followers, the numbers on the followers on your profile, and like they're talking about getting rid of the likes number. Yeah. Everything, it's becoming less and less about those numbers, and so it's really more about like posting some sort of content,
a birthday party. Yeah,
right. But what I find interesting that I think is I think is actually related is I find the live streaming industry more fascinating.
I wanted to talk about this too, like Twitch.
And live streamers, like Twitch streamers,
oh, yeah,
to me is a real-time social media influencer. It's like, okay, instead of waiting for the Instagram post, just watch them right now.
Yeah.
Watch them right now. And, you know, it's like, there's obviously the niche, the most popular category being gaming, but like, there's also just like live streamers in general and vloggers and things like that. And like the idea of a vlog being in real time is like captivating to people. And I think all of it, live, the streaming service or the streaming industry and the social influencer industry is all stemmed in this feeling of like, I want to live somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know.
And I think as we go ahead, Brian, I just wrap us up in this.
Because I didn't want to talk about Twitch because I think Twitch is interesting. I found myself like I didn't really get into like YouTubers that much, but then like I found a few that I do really enjoy. And so like I will, you know, check in on their page like very regularly and see what they're doing.
Right.
And see what they're talking about. And generally, I think, again, what I'm interested in is a person and a persona and like
right.
Who they are and like kind of what they have to say about subjects. And generally for me, that's like very nerdy culture, right? So like I'm interested in like what this guy has to say about this combo that came out or this, you know, these movies that came out and his review or his recap or whatever, you know, like I'm interested in that. And I think, and it all has to do with him. And what I found interesting, there's one that I watch and he will say, he'll be like, and y'all think just because I was invited to the premiere that I'm gonna like review this movie and say it's great and all this stuff. Well, I do think it's great, and you gotta deal with it. The fact that like you think I got paid to say it's great, blah blah blah. And it's just what you're talking about in terms of like what is the line, like how much of this is like, I don't know that you said, but you know, how much of this is real life versus not real life.
Yeah.
And I think what's in, that's what I think is so interesting about the people that aren't getting paid yet but are already doing it. Versus the people that gained a following doing what they were doing.
Right.
Whatever it was. Like Ninja was gaming, right?
Right.
And he
right.
just developed a following. And then if he like mentions Oreos on his Twitch stream, I don't know if he ever does that. But you know what I mean? If he like probably plays
in the middle of his Twitch stream. He's like Red Bull. That's his thing.
Okay, yeah. So you know, it's like people know that he got popular because of gaming, and then Red Bull was like, I'll give you money to do this. But if you're kind of
But now you can buy the gaming streaming kit. Like the mic, the camera, and everything. Yeah. So you can start looking like Ninja right away, but not even necessarily be Ninja's content.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
And I think ultimately, like, I mean, what I hear and what I'm noticing is we're still seeking for authenticity. And that's what we desire. That's what we want. So this is at least what we say we want. And so we're looking for that. And another thing that's also seems to be a growing trend, which is loneliness. Loneliness, anxiety is on the rise. Like these things and more on the rise, even though we're posting, we're twitching, we're TikToking, we're tweeting.
We're more and less social at the same time.
Right, exactly. We're in some ways so quote unquote connected, but in a lot of ways so disconnected because a lot of the amount of like if everyone had to reveal the amount of time we actually spend scrolling on whatever it is,
right?
It would be shocking and embarrassing probably for all of us to say, oh, this is how much time I spend scrolling and looking at it. Because we get so distracted or bored, even in hanging out with people, we hop on the gram. We hop on Twitter, we're scrolling, whatever, right? So I just think, I'm interested in this. I think we've got to come back to it eventually. But we need to get going and talk about, with our remaining time, Kanye West. Now, so, truthfully, everybody, like, I think we spoke about this, Brian, on your show. But Brian, while he is, if you've now seen a photo of him, he is not a black person. He's a white man.
I'm not. Yes.
And he has been a long time Kanye, what I would say a Kanye aficionado. Like you have been a long devoted Kanye West fan.
Absolutely.
And you know a lot about Kanye. And so it seems appropriate that, you know, you lead us into this last conversation about, and of course, if you're still under a rock, sorry, but not knowing what's happening, Kanye's release. What can be known as a Christian hip hop album, and he is apparently a born again Christian now, and this whole kind of jump start into this particular form of Kanye Christianity, however we want to describe it, came out of really it started after the TMZ interview where he spoke about slavery and said some pretty wild stuff. And then really from that moment on, he kind of like disappeared. And then fast forward the summer, Sunday services start.
Right.
And now we have Jesus is King. So Brian, just give me what your, have you listened to it yet? I'm assuming you.
I've absolutely listened to the new album, Jesus is King. At this point, probably not, maybe not 10 times, but like upwards of 7 times through.
And what do you think?
We're just talking about the album, right? We're just talking about the album right now. The music of the album. I would say
we
the
go
album,
anywhere we want to go. Yeah.
Let's say you told me that Pitchfork gave it a 7.2. And they I did. Think that is like a 72%. I think that is very accurate. The album, I don't think there's... There are a couple of songs on there that don't have much to offer at all. But a lot of the songs have really good highlights and good high points. And then there's a mixture of something weird. Like there's a track called Water
right.
that I think is amazing. Except when Kanye raps on it. The part where Kanye raps sounds robotic and odd. And then there's other tracks where his flow is amazing. And I'm really interested in what he has to say. And so I don't completely understand what happened in the process. I was telling Patrick earlier, there are people that keep posting leaks of other
right
kind of B-sides from this album production process that are a little less gospel-y, and like, or at least like mix the gospel with kind of his usual shenanigans a little bit more.
Right.
And some people have been posting them like on Spotify as podcasts, and like then they get taken down that someone else does it. So I've been listening to them kind of off and on as I can.
And how are those?
I haven't listened to any of those. Interesting. So, you know, some of them are versions of what ended up on Jesus is King. But there's like a guest verse from I can't remember who it was on the Storm, which became Everything You Wanted or whatever it's called. But there are these guest rappers on there that don't necessarily, you know, abide by like the gospel CCM guidelines you would maybe think they would.
So they say a little bit more colorful language, if you will.
Yeah, and it's a little more, and you know, the truth is like, I this is what I would say. I think what I'm disappointed in an album is that if Kanye went through some kind of spiritual transformation, which he's kind of claiming he has. And,
sure.
And I haven't watched all the interviews. It sounds like you've read some more articles than I have about it. I've been a little bit under a rock recently with that stuff. But like, I wish the album was a little more personal, because all I'm hearing is him like quoting scripture and saying things that, you know, you just hear like really like cliched Christian things over and over.
Yeah.
And then also he just like yells Chick-fil-A several times.
Yeah.
On one song.
It is. And I think what you said is so perfect is that it is this Christian cliche album.
Like, that's with incredible, interesting Kanye West production value.
Sure. But it's so weird. It's such a weird album. And I don't know. Like I've said this publicly on, you know, especially on Twitter and even in people and I've talked to, is that I'm not here for this album. I don't really care for this album. I think that, and then to the people who say Kanye's been going towards the, if anything, you say this is kind of the culmination of years of like hinting at this like Christian thing that's in him. Now, granted, I will agree with to a point that like, yes, there've always been some kind of spiritual, potentially even you could say Christian elements in a lot Absolutely. Of his work.
Yeah.
Now, because he's a hip hop artist, and as I have taught many of classes on, like hip hop and faith are like they are for sure dance partners. And there's a lot of integration that's happening with right. with hip hop. But you're saying like in pop culture, a Christian rapper, you know who I'm saying? I'm saying Kendrick Lamar.
Absolutely.
Like that is what I'm saying. I'm Absolutely. Not saying Kanye West, because what he found on from a random someone or whoever he talked to about, and now he can quote some scripture.
Who did he talk to? That's what I want to know.
Now,
I want to know what the spiritual...
Yeah, he talked to some few people. Who
I'm
knows,
sure he did. The other thing, too, with what you're saying, I think the big thing, and yeah, you've taught classes on this, and so I think the big thing about hip-hop that I find interesting that I think Kanye on this album is lacking is that hip hop has better than any cultural, any culture, been able to integrate faith alongside every aspect of your life. Your dating life, your sexual life, your drug using life, even alongside how you have fun, what you do on, you know, like how you kick it on a Sunday,
right?
Backyard barbecue and going to church. Like that, like there's a, like Outkast, like Big Boy has that banging track on the, that first album he did.
Oh yeah.
On Outkast. It's like, sometimes life can get you down with your face all in the dirt. Go to church, you know? And like, it's so good, right? And you can integrate all that. And then he can also, the next track, talk about things that no, like, you would never hear on a Sunday. And so I think that's what this album is lacking, is the other parts. And it's like, I don't care. Like, it's, if somehow he has found some kind of spirituality that is this born-again Christianity, I'm interested to hear.
Yeah.
This album to me does sound like someone who has like found Jesus in a very like new way, in the way that they are not actually showing the fullness of who they are, because they don't really know what it means yet, right, to be a full Christian,
right,
and to be a full person.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, if I talk about Chick-fil-A all the time, then I'm a Christian, right? And if I do these things and I say these things and I say God is king and all these things, that means I'm a Christian, right? Like, that's what this album sounds like to me. And it's okay. If that's where he's at, that's okay. This is just not for someone who has now, you know, almost two decades of music that has been very mature, not in like a, you know, like explicit way, but mature in, I think he has gone to depths of his soul in certain music in a raw way,
mm-hmm,
and really shown us. I think Yeezus does an incredible job of showing us some of like his subconscious in a way that a lot of musicians nowadays do not do. Then you have this album that is just very surface level. There are some, like I said, there are some parts of it that I think are just really beautifully done. And there are even some of his verses, some of his raps that I think are really good. And I think with Kanye, always there are like snippets that you go, right, oh, that's good. Like there's a part where he says, they kept telling me that's not Christ. I'm not quoting it exactly right, but it's, he kept telling me I wasn't acting Christ-like, but then they'll never tell you when you're acting like Christ, which I thought was that's really interesting what he's saying there, right? And at one point he says, the Christians are going to be the ones that are going to dismiss me first, which was interesting to listen to as a Christian.
Well, yeah, but part of me is like, that was just like a way to like, you can't come at me because I put that in the, it's like, no, dog, I'm coming at you.
Right.
I'm coming at you because you've said some wild things that you have not. Here's my problem. My problem with things like with Kanye and so many others is that we all misspeak about a lot of things.
Sure.
The normal sane person says, I misspoke. I am sorry that I misspoke about that. I apologize. Please forgive me.
Right.
I sincerely overstepped my knowledge of something, and I stand corrected. And I'm sorry for saying something that's not true.
Right.
This, and then the thing that makes me so erratic about Kanye is that he thinks he says something that's new.
Yes.
You're not saying anything that's new.
Right.
You're not some like really random unenlightened person. If anything, you're the most unenlightened person that I know. Like you're not enlightened. Like you think that you saying to a group of Howard students, next time the slaves just move, let's not stay in the same place and let the nets and move out the way of the nets. Do you know how putting people in slavery works, my guy?
Right.
Like you are so out of your league on what you're talking about, you need to take a seat and shut up.
Yes.
And then now you release this album that, well, I need to get the black people back on my side. So here's what I'm gonna do. Black people love a good gospel choir. And we do. And so I'm gonna do this gospel track and they gonna be back on my side. Nah, dog, no one's here for that. There's a couple folks out here for that, but all of us, we ain't out here for this. You know who is here for this? A bunch of white folks who'd be like, oh, I like a little gospel. Let me get on this thing.
Yeah, you're looking at like, one of them, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're different and some other people are different because it's like you've been listening to Kanye from the college dropout.
Right.
Right? It's not like you were like, ah, I'm not listening to Kanye. He cusses too much or he talks about the drugs and the this and the that. Or I don't like any of that. And it's like, yeah. So I don't know. So yeah.
Good, that's good. Well done.
So Ben, what's your take on all this?
So I really don't want to sound like a white knight here when I preface this, but just personally, I'm trying to practice criticizing less. And so I don't want to go the criticism route.
Sure.
But just to, you know, please everybody, I think the 7.2 is maybe not wrong, but probably generous. I don't think it would be above it, but I think it could be below it.
Oh, okay, here. So you're talking about the rating.
Sure. Right.
You're saying the 7.2 is an interesting, based on what you've heard of
it. It's close, in my opinion. But, and then further, in terms of my opinion, I really liked tracks 9 and 10, Hands On and Use This Gospel. Thought they were super cool, except for Kenny G's sax solo. I thought it was stupid. Don't know why I put it in there.
No, Kenny G's sax solo was dope.
No, it was stupid. It was stupid and unnecessary, but that's the only criticism. Okay, what I want to try to like frame this as, I've been trying to do this because, I really want to believe that he has found Jesus and has found something good and something fulfilling for his sake, for his soul's sake. So I've been seeing a lot of people post in favor of Kanye in the context of comparing him to, I've seen King David and I've seen Saul.
What?
Right. So those are two really big names.
Wait, and which one is he?
They're like comparing him to both of them.
Oh.
King David, the argument with King David is, you know, like King David had mistakes too. My thing with King David is King David was called out by Nathan in front of his entire kingdom and King David, you know, repented and was and was lamenting, you know, and like felt guilty. That's the difference between that. But then the difference with Saul is, you know, Saul was a knowledgeable preacher, essentially, you know.
And so I'm still missing how Kanye is compared to either one of these guys.
Well, really the only comparison is that God can use a broken man.
Sure.
But what I'm
here for that.
What
comment.
I view him more as, if all of this is real for him, is I believe it was a paralyzed man that Jesus healed that witnessed. And just went and told everybody what happened to him. And then everybody went to Jesus, not the paralyzed man, right? So I see this more as hopefully an opportunity for other people to search for Jesus because of this. Because they're like, what the heck is up with Kanye? I want to know. That's what I hope this function as, rather than him being the leader of some new movement. I'd rather I hope that he's more of a witness,
but I don't think does that makes sense. But see, here's the deal: that is a very gracious way to hope for Kanye. But here's what we know about Sunday services that he said he's been doing.
I'm not talking about Sunday service. Oh, I'm talking about this album.
But that's connected. It's all connected.
But I'm talking about strictly the album. I'm talking about listeners that are listening to the album that aren't going to Sunday service that are wondering, why did Kanye release an album called Jesus is King?
But that's all. But my thing is that you're unable to separate those.
Sure you can. If you're somebody who's just like, you know, overseas, for instance, just on Spotify, you can separate that.
I mean, Sure, but I think it's just it's really hard to separate those two.
Well,
things.
Either way, I hope this functions more as something that can potentially witness to the idea of Jesus being king, rather than I feel like right now a lot of the attention is on Kanye, and that's expected and probably what he wants. But I hope my hope is that he somehow deep down actually wants this to all be about Jesus for real, and that it actually turns into that.
Well, I think for me with that is why when I say this album is not personal enough, if that's what happened, because he did Jesus Walks in 2005, right? Like, he did Jesus Walks. He's done several, maybe that's the most outright one, but like several allusions to his Christian faith throughout his whole career.
Right.
So if there has been a change, I listened very closely to this album to hear what was the change. Now, he said, I've been working for the devil my whole life and now I'm on strike, but he didn't explain what that meant. Right. And we can all, we can kind of figure it out. Like, we can kind of, you know, whatever. But I think what's interesting is, I mean, what I go to more, and if we're going to like biblical stories, is the story of Legion and the you know, Jesus goes to the man in the graveyard who's like
cast
crazy,
the demons out into the pigs.
And there's so many demons in him that he says his name is Legion, and Jesus casts out all the demons from him, and then he's like, all right, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, and then Jesus says, no, just go back to your town and tell them what happened. And I think like, Jesus like could have just followed Jesus, right? And he could have just gone on and done, you know, become a disciple or whatever. But Jesus says, go back to your town, tell them what happened. They actually saw you go crazy. They saw what happened to you, and you're going to have to prove that this is real. Because they saw you at your worst. They saw you move from the town to the graveyard. And now you're moving back, and you're going to have to prove to them who you really are, and you're going to have to prove that this is a real change. And so I think for me, that's what I don't see. And so he did. He just disappeared. Like, he met with Trump. He did all these things, and then he disappeared, and then he comes back with this album. And I just want it to be more personal if something really happened.
I guess
because
what I'm saying is I just hope the actual function of the album is something good, even if it's not necessarily, you know, provocative or personal or even real. I like, there's still, I think that we can say there's still truth in it, and I hope that people who need any sliver of truth can get that through this. And I hope it's the gateway drug to, you know, real authentic Christianity. You know, like, I see it more as like, oh man, I just tried Tennessee barbecue for the first time. Oh, cool. Where'd you go? Corky's. It was awesome. You know, it's like, okay, well, that's great, but let me take you somewhere like, that's like real. Like, that is like, that's a good start, and I'm glad you found it. Like, let me take you somewhere real. Like, that's more
you
of what
came
I
after Corky's for no apparent reason.
Came after it.
You just shot at Corky's.
Well, we're doing that to everyone, aren't we? Isn't that what this is? But like, you know, but you like, I hope this functions more. I hope that this can function as some sort of witness. I don't think we should count it out, but I also don't think that we should treat it as some sort of important text. I don't think Absolutely. We should treat it as some sort of, I don't think we should treat Kanye as a spiritual leader. I don't think that's healthy either.
Or a political leader.
Right.
When you said what you said about why is he saying these things and he needs to shut up? I'm like, yeah. And people need to stop asking him these questions.
Yeah.
It's just that they want all the clicks. They want all the views because they're going to ask Kanye about Trump, or they're going to ask Kanye about whether black people should vote Democrat or whatever it is. And it's like, I love Kanye's music. I've always loved Kanye's music. That Every Hour song is stuck in my head right now from this album because I've been listening to it today. I love it. And I have no interest in like following him into battle for anything at all. I think he's an artist, and there are so many, there are so many artists musically and otherwise that I love what they did. And if I were hanging out with them in a living room, I would be scared to death and not really want to engage in a conversation with them because they're so weird. And he's probably one of those people.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I think that that's okay. And I really wish people would stop giving him a platform beyond his music.
Yeah.
Like, it is frustrating to me because we kind of, you know, we can talk about cancel culture and all that stuff too, but like the biggest thing is that when you are pushing someone all the time to go outside their box, now he has stepped outside that box intentionally, right? Ever for forever, right? George Bush don't like black people, right? Like he's done this since the beginning.
Yeah.
But we also don't need to actually ask him about every little thing that happens.
Right.
And I think, and my concern too with like this Sunday service stuff and all that stuff is that I do see the beginnings of what I have seen many times with religious leaders who do kind of become like radically changed somehow, even to the Christian faith, and then they're like, I'm gonna start my own thing.
Yeah.
And I can do it better than all the people that have come before me.
Right.
And I'm gonna create a movement. And I do think that is clearly what he's doing. We don't know who converted him, who had these conversations with him, what happened. We don't really know.
Yeah.
And then he just starts popping up with Sunday service stuff. And I do think, now I don't know if any of the people that go to Sunday service actually look at him as like,
no, well, I mean, leader. it's a part of, he is the leader.
I know that like Chance the Rapper has said that he's like his spiritual mentor.
That Kanye is his spiritual mentor?
Chance said that.
Chance should be his spiritual mentor.
I hope that's not true. I'm
99% sure that Chance said that on Kimmel.
I am disturbed.
That will be very disturbing.
That makes me sad.
I've been thrown for
Ben just stopped I'm just us thrown in our tracks. For a,
but a, I don't. Maybe we should move on. But I don't know. I feel like I just hope as Christians we can pray for and hope for truth to be heard, no matter like how that looks, whether it's like if Kanye starts speaking truth or whatever. Like obviously truth just needs to be heard.
Sure, and the truth is
that Chance did say that.
He did say that.
I just Googled
it. What?
I told you. Yeah,
he straight up said that. Oh boy. Okay, Chance. All right, bro, we're going to cut some. That is unfortunate.
So maybe we should end it there.
No, we're not ending it there. No, this is,
I don't know if we're getting anywhere with this though.
You don't probably get anywhere with this, but I don't think that like that doesn't mean that we're done with this. So like I would say that the thing I want to say with on this, we're gonna definitely come back to Kanye. I'm gonna have some other folks. We're gonna come back to this because we ain't done talking about Kanye West. Not yet. But I would say that it's very interesting to me that the people who are out here in these streets trying to make some space and room for Kanye West, when all of that he's done and all that he said is not the community of people that he says he's here for. And that's just the fact of the matter. And what I see is a lot of white evangelical Christians who are all up in Kanye's fan club now. And that's just the commentary, people. What I don't see is the white evangelical Christians who say that they are for the name of Christ being spread in our country and in the world, standing up for the injustices that are happening to a lot of people. And so you're giving all your energy to defending Kanye West, who don't need your defense. Who don't need your defense. He don't need your money. And he don't need anything. And the fact that, like, he was just on James Carden, the car karaoke guy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Saying that, like, I'm a born-again Christian. I got this massive tax break. Holla at your boy.
He also said something like, marriage wasn't cool until me and Kim got married.
Yeah. And it's like, I am, and for people, and here's, if you're listening to this and you're like, I think I may be into Christian hip hop. Let me give you good news. There are some amazing Christian hip hop artists who are doing amazing music with amazing, uplifting, inspiring content.
So and provocative stuff too.
And provocative stuff too. And
forward thinking.
To Ben's comment, sure. I think that's great to hope that this becomes the gateway, Joe. So maybe I should check out Christian music. Maybe that becomes your gateway into this thing. But maybe you're sitting somewhere in a small village in or another part of the world and you somehow just gets given to you and you go down a rabbit hole and, you know, and before you know it, you found, you know, some of these other kind of Christian hip hop R&B artists. Well, then that's fantastic. But I think that it's really tough. The whole Kanye thing is really tough. And we're going to talk about cancel culture another time because we do need to wrap this up. And I will say, I'm not here to cancel Kanye. Not at all. I'm not into the counseling of folks because I think that artistry and people who are artists are just that it's a unique, interesting space to exist in. And there are some people who will probably are do some counseling, but I think we throw around the counseling blanket a little bit too freely nearly. And so I think that we need to pump the brakes on that. But
totally.
So anyway.
Did you intentionally ignore when I said Toby Mac? Because it was funny, I thought. And he just like rolled right past it.
Oh, yeah. I love some Toby Mac. Toby Mac is DC talk. I said it. He's DC talk. He is DC talk.
What about the other guy?
Michael Takes, he's hype. He's fine. Kevin, he's fine too. But Toby's the magic of that. Of
Michael,
that whole...
if you hear this, I love you, buddy.
I love Michael
too. With
the
steak.
There's no dislove for Michael Tate or for Kevin Max. Love them all. They were my first concert, mind you.
DC Talk was?
Yes.
Wow.
100%. First concert. So I'll always have a love for DC Talk. Color people. Oh. All right. So let's wrap it up with
hot takes.
Hot takes. This episode is so long. How long is this going to be? Like a billion hours long? This
well,
is a
when
Joe
you edit
Rogan
it down
podcast.
To like what's actually good, it'll be 2 minutes.
No, this is going to release it to the wild. Yeah. Okay, hot takes. We'll go around the bin. Ben, we'll start with you. No, we'll start with Ben, Brian, then we'll end with me. Ben,
or just
takes.
Like each doing one?
One or two. However many you got. If you got one, if you got two.
Halloween is not cool.
Oh. Whoa,
that's hot.
That is real hot. Explain. You can't just drop that and expect us to go
I thought
around.
This
the
is
bit.
The point of a
no,
hot take.
No, 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 no. You have to explain yourself.
No, it's just it's not a good holiday.
Why? Like you don't like dressing up?
No, that's not what I said. Okay. I said Halloween is not a good holiday. It's a combination of too many things happening. It's a fall celebration, really. It's spooky season and it's costumes and they don't connect, but we've made them connect in the weirdest way. And then we've decided on top of all of that candy, it doesn't make any sense,
which helps it though. The
it
candy
makes less
helps
sense
it.
Than Easter, which is already chaos.
Oh, Easter is chaotic.
So Halloween
I like
is,
how Easter is
terrible.
Like about supposed to be about Jesus, but we said, let's throw a bunny in the mix
and eggs
and eggs.
Yeah, so Halloween is not good. I'm all for. I think it's really cool that there's a day where that's everybody great. Dresses up. I think that's really cool. If it started where everybody dresses up as something spooky, that works even too because now there's a theme to it. But there's not. Like, not everybody dresses up as something spooky. Most people don't dress up as something spooky. the spooky thing is essentially what Halloween now is. You make your house look spooky, you dress up as whatever, and then you give out candy and pumpkins.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what Halloween is. It doesn't make any... I don't know. Maybe I either want zero purpose or more purpose. And right now there's like half purpose.
Yeah. That's good. That's strong.
That was strong. Okay. You should like invest in Arbor Day and like making that like just like really double down on like this is a purposeful holiday.
Yeah, well that is. Yeah, that's a very purposeful holiday. Man. Yeah. Or yeah, I mean
theme
like, I do have hot takes about 4th of July too. I think 4th of July should be voting day.
That's a great hot take. I like that.
I think if we really want to celebrate our freedom. Yeah. We should be voting. We should actually be doing stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think
you come up to the grill,
yeah,
there's a ballot box.
Well, yeah. And I think what that gets to is what should be happening in our country anyway, which is voting days should be holidays that no one has to
right,
vote.
Right. Yeah. But
so that you get to go vote.
Point is, Halloween sucks.
Okay. Okay. Brian.
Man, I mean, that's so hot. I don't know what I can follow
that. Yeah, well, you can follow that. What you got?
What I have is, over the past few months, me and Kelly have been watching Steven Universe, which is a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. It's so good. It's the best thing I've watched. And I've watched a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the best thing I've watched this year, hands down, TV-wise.
Okay.
Steven Universe.
So we need to watch that.
Okay. You all need to watch it.
That's fine.
The episodes are 15 minutes.
Oh, I like that. You can do it. Okay.
Not a problem. All right. It's amazing. Also.
I love this.
What do you love?
Whatever coming next. I don't know what's coming next, but I love it.
Also, right now in comics, there is a Power Rangers Ninja Turtles crossover happening.
Oh, gosh. What?
And I need everyone to know that exists.
Oh, goodness.
I need to go back in time and tell 7-year-old me that exists. And I just want everyone should go out and buy it because it's so much fun. And that's my hot take. Oh, third hot take.
Love it.
Third hot take. Because last time I was here, you asked me what the best comic book of the year was.
Yeah.
And I had a little trouble. This year, best comic of the year is X-Men Grand Design. If you're into X-Men at all, it in three volumes concisely retells the history of X-Men in a coherent story, and it's dope.
Wow.
Ed Piskor is a cartoonist who does the whole thing, and it's awesome. That is all.
I've got one more. It's real short.
Okay.
And it's not a hot take because of really what it is. It's more just because it's a hot topic.
Okay. I'm into this.
Joker.
Oh.
One of the best movies I've ever seen.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Counterpoint. What? Joker. Derivative of everything and not a great movie.
Oh.
There we go. I think that's why it was a hot take, is just because it has had very mixed reviews.
We can't get into Joker. That's next time. We'll get into Joker next time. I like both comments. That was great. I think I'm only going to do just one, or maybe I'll do two. One is, I need for artists, musicians, bands, whatever you want to call them, stop taking so long to get me new music.
Oh. All right. It's a hot take.
Here's the thing. Here's a great example. Coldplay. Love that you're back. Welcome back.
Are they back?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Two new songs, new two-disc album coming soon.
Wow. Yeah. Here's the deal.
Two-disc.
Thank you, Coldplay, for coming back. I appreciate it. What you been doing? Give me, even if it's like a quick, like, hey, here's a bebop. Here's something. Here's us on the keyboard. I just keep me, you know, you Kendrick. Where you at? I don't need you featured. I need you another album. J. Cole, where you at? Yeah, you're doing things. I get it, and I know it takes the time to do the thing. But
have you heard of the Chainsmokers?
Oh boy,
they may fit that need.
I don't just want to get music into chain smokers, but I just want my bands, and I also want, if you are a '90s band,
yeah,
and you're still creating music, there's no reason you should be playing 2 hour sets. Period. Weezer, I'm looking at you. You're my favorite band. I'm done with this hour, 15 minute set.
Yes.
I want a 2 hour set always.
Oh, you want the 2 hour. Okay.
Patrick,
oh,
let me tell you one band that you would love then. It's Dave Matthews Band. Oh, they always put on a 3 hour concert. You've delivered
two bands that I am. Well, here's the deal. I'm not against Dave Matthews. Because
we know your taste.
I'm not against Dave Matthews. I am against the Chainsmokers. And I would love for them to.
My point was that they release music at a faster rate than Coldplay.
That's true. They do release a lot of bad music. My other hot take is...
I heard you say bad music.
Yeah, I heard that too. Let's clarify. He said bad music.
What's that?
When you said the Chainsmokers release a lot of bad music.
And we wanted to clarify.
And you
kind of
just like went over it real quick, but you said bad music.
Oh, yeah. Chainsmokers. Not here for it. They are... Here's the deal. They are massive. They can sell out any arena in this country. And people love them, adore them. That's fine. Not here for it. Other thing, and I'm staying on this for a while, stop putting eggs on everything. Just stop it.
Don't. Burgers?
Stop.
Really?
Stop.
Not even burgers?
No.
So what is an egg okay on?
Nothing. Scrambled. I don't even like that.
Just a plate. You can just only put them on a
yeah,
plate.
Yeah, put them on a plate. That's
what about
it.
Like on a hash? Like something else breakfast?
Hash browns are fine. Cheese? Yes. Cheese, salt, and pepper. Yes.
I can't do cheese anymore.
Well, that's. I'm sorry. I wish. I'm sad for you.
Can you put things in eggs? Like, what can I mean? Put spinach in eggs?
Ugh.
Or like chorizo?
What?
Leave chorizo alone.
You're not making any sense anymore.
It is a hot take.
Patrick and Kanye are off the reservation. Just on different sides.
We have more
in
common than we think. Okay. Well, hey, that's all we got. Thank you, Brian. This was wonderful.
I guess.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Always a joy. And thank you for listening to this random thing.
I'm sure. If you made it through.
Here's the deal. I'm sure that we made all of you happy and pissed all of you off at some point in this show, which is good. I think that's a fair thing to do on the episode. Yeah. A journey.
It was a journey.
Thanks. We'll see you next time.